Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri, located at 1624 Clarkson Road. You can come swing by anytime, Tuesday through Saturday. They do live music Thursday through Saturday. And coming up, you can catch Dylan Wilfong there on Thursday, June 21st. On Friday, June 22nd, Three of a Perfect Pair will be there. And on Saturday, June 23rd, Circle the Wagons. Full listing of events coming up. It can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for further updates. But yeah, come by, grab a glass of wine or a glass of whiskey or your favorite local craft beers, and enjoy the show. And be sure to tell them Rock Paper Podcast sent you.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Nate Burrell, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Nate Burrell. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This is very cool. Very exciting I guess we've sort of kind of run around the same circles for a little while now. I know I'm sure I've seen you at tons of shows.
Absolutely.
But we finally, this is our first like proper introduction, getting to hang out and getting to talk. And, you know, I've been a fan of your work, and then it's just like, I don't know how we haven't really met prior, but I'm glad I'm here today and we get to hang out and talk about all things you're up to and stuff.
Yeah, I really appreciate being here, and I'm sure that we probably have run into each other. It's the biggest small city that we live in, you know?
Yeah, that's a... I had a conversation one night, and it was kind of embarrassing, but I was talking about a show, one particular show, and I was like, I can't remember, there was another band there, and they're like, oh, we were that band. And I was like, oh, whoops. You know, like, yeah. So it was just kind of weird that 4 years ago or whatever it was, like when I was at that show, I didn't know that band, but now they're on the show and I get to know them and all that. So it's just kind of a weird small world thing. Like we're all in the same room together and didn't know it. Now we're hanging out. And so
that probably happens all across life, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. But yeah, man, like I said, I'm a big fan of your work, your photography and everything. And I guess let's start there with that. Like, where's Nate Burrell grow up? Let's start at the very beginning. Like,
I'm from Northeast Ohio.
Yeah.
So I grew up in a small town called Rootstown. It's about 5 minutes from Kent State University.
All right.
About 15 minutes from Akron. About 35-40 minutes from Cleveland.
Okay.
So Northeast Ohio, on the Great Lakes kind of situation. Grew up in kind of a rural area, and my family all still lives there. I go back quite frequently, as much as I can, you know. But that's where it started. So I lived in Ohio for the first, you know, 20 years plus years. Then I moved to Berkeley, California, and Oakland, and then moved to St. Louis, where I'm at now.
Yeah,
I moved here in 2009.
Was that for work or for just for thought it'd be some a new change or?
Yeah, just a change.
Yeah.
I'd always kind of wanted to live in California from when I was younger. I had some opportunities to travel for certain things, and after college. Me and my good pal named Sean Wergowski, we packed up a Toyota Matrix and split it down the middle and whatever you could get in the car, and we headed across, and we actually didn't know where we were going to move to.
Wow.
I was more along the lines of like Northern California, and he was more along the lines of Los Angeles, and we ended up staying with a friend in Berkeley for a couple of nights, and then, you know, 5-6 years later, I was like, oh, this is a long stay.
Yeah.
So that, and then I moved here in May of 2009.
All right.
Yeah.
What, so you've been here, and it seems like, you've definitely done a great job of like working your way into the St. Louis music scene and everything, especially with your photography and stuff. How did that start though? Like, is that was just being a fan or?
Yeah, you know, I've worked with cameras since I was a little bit younger.
Right.
And I started when I was in college, at the end of my college era, I was working at a music club and I would take some photos for them, you know, so that was like, I had done other kinds of photography, but had never done music photography. And so I started shooting these, you know, smaller bands that came through this weird bar that I worked at and called The Outpost. And then when I was in California, I did some stuff with a place called Ninth Floor Radio and worked with some bands out there. And then, you know, it just kind of morphed. And then I came here and I had a portfolio together. And by happenstance, you know how St. Louis is, it's a small town. And I met this fella named Roy Kasten early when I moved here. And Roy is one of the founding members of Twangfest.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time he was running the visual and social, kind of, not social media by any means, but like he was doing the online content for KDHX. And at that time there was a woman named Kate that was doing some photography and myself for them. So we were like two of the first photographers there. And then through that, we kind of built their photography team, and it went from two people to 20 something. And so, yeah, Roy gave me opportunities in the beginning that helped me become a better photographer for one, you know, and like I learned how to be in a recording studio with people, and you learn all the nuances of respecting the people that you're around that are allowing you into their creative space. And so, yeah, that was 2009, and I went from doing stuff with KDHX and other area blogs, such as, you know, obviously the Riverfront Times and Speakers and Code, and I went to a show and things like that. So it kind of kept progressing, and I built some lasting working friendships and collaborative relationships with some artists, obviously in town, but as well as throughout the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm kind of on my own doing freelance and working with different labels and bands and magazines, and couldn't really ask for more.
Super
fortunate and thankful for it.
You've been at it for quite a while, and you have a beautiful catalog of and all kinds of different stuff from like you're saying, from live photography, from concerts to behind the scenes and everything, and you can find all that at naperel.com if you want to go visit there and check all that out. So Twangfest kind of, I guess that probably helped introduce you to a lot of artists coming through for sure, because that's always been a big staple for the St. Louis music and bringing all kinds of great artists from around the country and as well as our locals and stuff. And
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's been, you know, obviously there, last night was actually the wrap up of their 22nd year doing it, which is super impressive. Anything that can last 22 years is just, it deserves a tip of the cap, you know. But it's a bunch of great people that run it, and they have just a stable of bands that they work with, and they're super respected. And so yeah, I got to do all the stuff here in St. Louis, and then they took me down to they have a day party at South by Southwest every year, so I started going to Texas with them several years in a row, and that, you know, that just kind of perpetuates the building of bridges with the artists and things like that. And here I am 9 years later.
Yeah, totally. Do you have a particular favorite show that you or something like that you got to go to over the time?
Oh, you know, I've been able to experience some really, really cool things, life-lasting memories through photography, and it's you know, at first it was concerts, and then it ended up working directly with the bands, and as we were talking about earlier, being invited into and welcomed into the creative process with a lot of these folks. So I can't say that there's a complete best. Mm-hmm. One, as far as like live concerts go, I'm a huge fan of Shuggie Otis, and he, you know, hadn't toured for 20 plus years, and he's just this genius and just a wicked guitar player and just a sonic master. But I got invited up to shoot his show when he returned after not touring for 20 years in Chicago, and that was, as far as like, you know, bands I like and artists I like, that's one who means a lot to me, and that's a show that will stick out forever to me as far as the photographing part. But I love shooting concerts. I think it's really, you know, you're making images that people want to see tomorrow on whatever social media, but really sure. it's the images will hopefully 20 years from now, it looks at what was going on in American music during this time. So I try to really approach it with the fact that you're shooting future history and documenting future history. So that just comes with the evolution of being around it. I'm pretty consumed time-wise with all things photography right now. Yeah. So, and have been for a while, and it's my approach with it all has changed, just from at first shooting from the front of the stage to then being asked to tell this band or artist story with them, you know. And it's just like that to me, it's white gloves and things like that. You've got to really treat it with the respect it deserves, because not everybody is afforded those opportunities. So I really try to treat it with that respect and take really, really good care of it and put the best foot forward and show the artists in the best light as possible.
Yeah, man. Very cool. You said, this photography's been there for a long time. Was that, like, as far as getting into doing music photography, was it, were you trying other things with photography before? And then, like, and a fan of music, and then, or did that, was it always want to go right into being a music photographer and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always been into music.
Yeah.
The first time I saw a concert was in seventh grade. And
what was that show?
The first concert I saw was a band called the Twist Offs.
All right.
And they were opening for UB40.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And it was the Twist Offs were an Akron band. And the guy was wearing Converse All-Stars, but they were up to his knees and they were bright orange. And he was just super theatrical. And seeing, like, you know, I'd seen like other kinds of music, but like seeing a concert of that magnitude, I was just like, wow, this is really cool. And then, you know, music was around the house growing up and things like that. So but as far as photography goes, no, there was never like the goal of like, I'm going to be a music photographer. I kind of fell into it that way. And, you know, if you do things that you're actually passionate about, it usually comes through versus, really feeling tried or stale. But yeah, my first photography was all landscape and travel stuff. And I had this film camera that was a Kodak and it was panoramic. So all the photos were super long, you know, like long and narrow. And I shot with that for probably 3 years before I ever touched a 35 millimeter or a digital camera or anything like that. So I still have the camera, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a lot of like landscape and places that I was traveling to, or trips I had taken with my family or friends. You know, I had a camera with me a lot from the time I was like 15 or 16 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for younger photographers getting going? I mean, like, that something you learned along the way doing all this stuff?
Oh, I've learned a lot of things along the way. You learn from your mistakes.
Sure.
And you learn from other people's advice and mistakes as well. But, you know, for anybody that's wanting to get into music photography, I would say the biggest thing is, like, put yourself out of it. You know, it's not, if you're getting to take photos of somebody with a recognizable name, you know, you have to serve the craft itself and like remember that you're just a small part of what is going on. Photography is important because it gives a visual documentation. It connects what people hear in their head. You have a face to the name kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the photographer should never, ever put his or herself before what they're shooting. You know, that's just an opinion. You know, there's no right or wrong, but that's what I would tell somebody who was coming in. Try to be unique and try to find your own voice and practice as much as you can, and you know, just really love what you do. But you have to remember that you're there making images for the artist or the publication, as well as for the people who are viewing it. You know, it's again, not everybody gets to get the photo pass, so it's a privilege, and it should be treated with respect, and you should carry yourself, you know, respectfully as you would, you know, with anybody in any walk of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it's definitely working for you with the way the relationships you've made. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of mutual friends, and the fact that, like, you're given a lot of these opportunities to, you know, like you're saying, going behind, in the studios and doing different stuff, like, obviously, you're a good friend, and they trust you to be a part of all this process with them and everything. And like, but I imagine that's got to be pretty surreal sometimes. You just get to hang out in the studio and get to shoot photography for some of these sessions and different things you're getting to be a part of. And
yeah, you know, it's like there's so many different kinds of music photography. You have obviously the concerts, but like you were saying, there's also recording studio stuff, and that's, you know, to me, that's the highest honor as far as a photographer goes in the music realm, is to be asked to be a part of these recording sessions, because these folks are making what is going to be a tangible, lasting piece of art. Mm-hmm. And they are allowing you into the studio to see their creative process, and not many professions allow that. You right. Don't get to see into the kitchen too much. You never know what the ingredients are, you know?
Yeah.
And so those things are really fun to do. So you've got recording studio stuff, you have live concerts, you have press, you know, just what bands are putting out there as far as their visual image to get people to know who they are, or to guide them to where they can be heard, and things like that. So, and then you have like tour photography, which that's kind of the all-encompassing, is those four things. So yeah, press and tour and live shots and recording studios, and then, you know, album packaging and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And over the years, I've been welcomed in with a lot of different folks who have trusted me to help maintain a good image for them, and you know, that's a very important thing, both for art, but also it's like, you know, that trust is something that you don't breach, and you, again, you're working for other people. The photograph will last. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I just think that'd be cool, like, especially as a music fan, like, kind of getting a sneak peek, you know, the preview for long, you know, months or a year before ever anybody else is going to hear these songs, and you get to see it live in the studio or whatever it is. And
yeah, it's interesting, especially with like the recording studio stuff, because it's like when you then hear the record later on, you know, whether it's a year or 2 years from when you're actually in the session with them, you sometimes will remember small things that happened that you wouldn't know unless you were sitting in the room, you know, because, you know, when you think about a band or an artist making a record, that's all of their emotion. That's their, you know, it's their creative being, and it's just like a painter making a painting or a sculptor making a sculpture. It's like they're working towards making a piece of lasting art. So you'll hear a song sometimes from the record, and your mind can take you back and be like, I remember in the studio, like his facial expression or the joke that she cracked or things like that. So it gives these little silent remembrances to the records, and it's it's really cool to be in a recording session.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love that about music, man. It's like a time traveling for me sometimes. Like I can, you know, I can put on a song and go right back to, you know, high school or whatever, you know, whatever, wherever I was at the time. Like, I mean, pictures do the same thing, you know, like obviously that captures that moment of that, but you can like, it might be that picture, but I can tell you the story, what's going on, you know, oh, it was, you know, this was, somebody else was here and everything else that's behind it, like, you know, and stuff too. Like, and that's what I love about what you're doing and what you're, you know, like, just all blending it all together and stuff, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So I guess let's talk about, I guess recently you were part of in the studio with Patrick, right?
Yeah, Patrick Sweeney.
Yeah.
He put out a record on 9 Mile Records, which is based in Austin, Texas. And the album's called Ancient Noise. And, you know, Patrick he's a lifer. He's a hardest working musician you're going to find. And he pounds the pavement and he tours constantly and he makes these records that are, they feel like from a bygone era. Like his musical knowledge goes from, you know, folk to blues to rock and roll and soul. And he has a little bit of all of that, you know. And he invited me down for the week. He recorded down in Memphis with a fellow named Matt Ross Spang, and it was at Sam Phillips Recording. And it's, again, now the record is Ancient Noise, but he recorded it in Memphis and he did it pretty live. So he, you know, he had his band come in and, that he was recording with, and some of them had never heard the songs before because they wanted it to have that really immediate feel rather than a super, super rehearsed feel. And you can, if you listen to the record, there's not looseness, but there's a soul that you can't teach, you know. And it's seeing Patrick do his thing. I've been a fan of his music for a long time. He's actually from Northeast Ohio as well. So,
did you guys meet there, or did you guys meet later?
We became friends later on. We met there. You know, he's several years older than me. Mm-hmm. I've only been kicked out of one bar in my entire life, and it was for sneaking into his show when I was 19 years old. Yeah, so
that's a good story there.
Yeah. Because he's been, I think it's probably one of the only jobs he's ever had would be my guess, you know, and he's been doing it for decades. Mm-hmm. And when he was living there, you know, he used to play at this place called the Zephyr, and he would go up there and, you know, he had a band and everything, but he would also play some solo slots, and he does this little stomp box thing where he creates some rhythmic things with his feet as he's playing, and it's so primal feeling, and it's just, when you see it, you'll never forget it.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's really...
That was the first time I
really great
got
to see
him. He played the stomp box solo like that, and it was, again, yeah, you're saying it's... It's very cool. It's not, I mean, it's not something everybody does, so it definitely stands out.
Oh yeah, yeah, and he's, you know, he's got the chops on the guitar. He's, in my opinion, he's one of the best guitar players out there.
One of my favorite writers, Will Hoag, has a song which since blown up as a number one country single from Eli Young Band and stuff. But a song called "Even If It Breaks Your Heart," and then there's a line in there. He says, "I was old enough to get there, but too young to get inside." To the show and stuff, and like saying, like 19, getting kicked out of the, sneaking into the club and stuff. And,
So they promptly threw me right out the back door, literally.
Yeah, it was
pretty funny. But that's the only time I've ever really gotten in trouble with music stuff. But it was worth it, and it was really cool to see him at that age, and then just, you know, here we are 20 years later or whatever, almost 20 years later, and to see him evolve and progress as he's done and reach out and touch the people that he has with his music, it was an honor to be able to go in and help with his recording documentation. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really cool.
Yeah, and if you don't have a copy of Ancient Noise, it's now available everywhere. Check that out, Patrick Sweeney, Ancient Noise. Up and Down. As I guess that's the kind of lead single, right?
Yeah, I think that's you know, there's multiple songs that could be the single, but I think that one jumps out. You know, it's got such a swampy, funky feel to it, and it's like from the opening note, you know, his vocal, it just grabs you, and you know, instead of your head going up and down, it goes from side to side. You're just in this groove, and he and his band just really laid it down.
We're going up.
The dynamic of it too, like the fact, like, it, you know, it kind of punches you in the face right at the beginning, and you like get hooked, and then, but like, then he brings it down to like where it's just like that snap, and then the, you know, like, so it like goes up and down through the whole song, like it says. So it's like,
oh yeah,
it's cool, man. I really love what he's doing, and again, I'm a huge fan. And but you guys are possibly working on a soon video for that.
Yeah, we're gonna record a music video for Up and Down. I think it'll be his first music video for this record. We're gonna record it here in St. Louis in a couple of weeks, and it'll be out, you know, probably at the end of July, early August, when his next big leg of his tour comes out. So
is it Do you do much music videos?
In the past I hadn't, and this year that's something I've delved into and been asked to do as well. So, you know, a still photograph versus a moving picture are two wildly different things. So, there's a reason why some people are cinema photographers and other people are just photographers, you know, and it's different crafts. And I started paying attention to it more, and I've done a few videos this year. So I did a performance video with a guy here in town named Ryan Koenig. You know, he's a local legend, and yeah, he's known worldwide, and he does a country thing. So we recorded a song with him in February, and then recently I did the music video for a guy named John Calvin Abney out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. So
love John.
Yeah, John and I did a music video here in St. Louis, and we had a great time. He drove in from Tulsa, got out of the car, and within an hour we were filming. It was really great. So it was like real spontaneous, and I had it scripted out and did all the treatments for it, and really didn't share with him or the cast what it was going to be. So it has a very unscripted feel to it, and it's just, you know, it looks like a group of friends that are enjoying a day together. And you know, we did some questionable things, such as like stopping traffic spontaneously.
Yeah.
And it was a hoot, and everybody, and you can see the unscripted feel of it, from their facial expressions to the cars that are whizzing by. And you know, some people, like some cars were driving by giving us the thumbs up, and some people were giving us a different finger kind of thing, you know. So but it was fun, and you know, they all signed off on doing it, and it was only literally, you know, that part of it was only a few minutes, and we were safe about it. We had spotters and things like that. But yeah, so we did a music video for, and he just put out a record called Coyote.
Yeah.
And there's a song called Get Your House in Order, and that's the song that we did. And I believe that the video is going to drop next week.
Very cool.
Yeah.
songbirds make up most my friends. And you had a feeling I'd fail if I tried. Said hello, Tennessee, and never stood in line. Well, kickers and the songbirds make up most my friends.
How'd you get hooked up with John?
John used to play with this woman named Samantha Crane. Okay. And Samantha has played in St. Louis quite a bit, but she also has a connection to St. Louis via Beth Bambara. Beth and her used to play in a band together, and John was in that band as well after Beth. So John had come through and he was playing a house show, I believe, for I Went to a Show. And I met him through Beth and Jess Luther, who runs I Went to a Show. But yeah. Beth and her partner, Kit Hammond, they introduced me to John and asked me to come over and take some photographs while they were doing this little recording session. And John and I hit it off. And then as the music world goes, we've crossed paths multiple times, and I guess that he took a liking to what I do visually and asked me if I wanted to be a part of this music video, and he gave me the keys to the Cadillac, so to say. He was really trusting of the vision that I had for it, and allowed me to do what I do and trusted me with that, and we made a really, really fun video.
Yeah. Very nice. I actually kind of got to be sort of a part of a John Calvin Abney video as well. I guess first met him through John Moreland.
Oh yeah.
And he was playing with and
still does.
Yeah. And Porter.
Yep.
Chris Porter. I first met Chris Porter opening for John Moreland at Gramophone, and I loved what those two guys were doing. And then Chris came back and did like a headlining set at off Broadway, and John Calvin Abney played guitar with him that night. And I shot some video from my cell phone and posted it. And then when Chris passed away, John said, "Hey, can I use that video? I use that some shots from that for this. I used it for Way Out video that he put together." And so I was like, "Yeah, of course, man. I would." You know, so it was pretty, crazy. Obviously, it was a real bummer that the circumstances, but I was like, it was really neat to be a part of the video as well with him and stuff. So
yeah, absolutely. And think about the sentence that you just said. You saw John Moreland play at the Gramophone.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of those stories.
It's beautiful though. Yeah. You know, it's like John. I mean, I think John's music is amazing, and mm-hmm. I think he sings like an angel. You know,
there was probably 30 of us in that room.
Yeah, like absolutely.
He was definitely on the way up, but I was a huge fan of his stuff, and the fact that now it's also even crazier because Gramophone is not even a performance venue anymore. It's just a sandwich shop.
It's a sandwich shop, yeah.
So,
good sandwiches.
Oh yeah, I love the sandwiches. But at the time, they had a nice stage and did a lot of shows there and stuff. And so it's crazy to how fast that guy's career is taking off. Though he's John Moreland's doing very well for himself, and
he deserves every success he gets.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he makes great music that is going to stand up for years and years to come, and I think he crosses genres in a lot of ways. He puts on no airs. He makes music, and mm-hmm. he's a music maker, and it's You know, he can do the folk songwriter thing, but then you put a band behind him and he just rock and rolls, you know. So it's just like, his songs are great. I think he's, you know, he's got the respect of all of his peers too. You know, he's a musician's musician.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's excellent.
For me, it's his record In the Throes and Jason Isbell's Southeastern.
Right.
And I think they came out the exact same day too. I think they called it Americana Christmas or something, because like all these great records like came out the same day. And
Americana Christmas, yeah, I hadn't heard of that.
I don't know, somebody said that one time, and it, like, I thought that was a really good term for that day and stuff. Like,
well, yeah, those two. I mean, geez, those are two. In my opinion, those are two just heavyweight songwriters. They're just like as good as it gets in the modern time, and we're lucky to be able to see it.
You know,
Jason's records are amazing, and Jason's wife's records are amazing, and they tour with John, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, I think last year you could see them at the Peabody Opera House together, and it's like, it's not a co-headlining bill because it was Isbell's tour, but John can hold that room on his own, you know, so anybody that gets to see those guys play together, it's worth reminding yourself how fortunate you are to be in those situations.
Yeah. I saw John Moreland at Off-Broadway also once with Ben Nichols, and they both did like in a solo acoustic, you know, kind of tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a kick out of just watching Ben watch John, like, because you could tell he's just a super fan, and like was sitting at the bar the whole time, just like smiling ear to ear, like this is he's having a great time. Regardless if anybody else was at the show, he's going to enjoy the John Moreland show. And
absolutely, you know, and Ben and his band have played here so many times.
Yeah.
And one thing that always sticks out to me about him is, I was just telling somebody this recently, oftentimes the headliner, you know, when you're getting ready to go do a performance, I can't imagine what goes through people's head, because we forget that it's live. You know, a million things can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so used to it because these artists are so well rehearsed and so professional and so great at what they do, but it can go off the rails quickly. So headliners often have to get in their own zone, and they don't see the bands that play before them. They're supporting acts. But Ben sits down and watches at least part of the show every time I've seen his band play, and that I will always support them because of small things like that. I find that to be just so respectable.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it's held with me, and when bands do that, for me personally, it's, you know, that's shedding the ego, and you see these people actually care about the people that are helping bring fans to them. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, you make a million choices and decisions every day, and artists that choose to walk down the stairs and give 5 minutes of their time to show support, a little goes a long way, you know?
Yeah,
but that's what Ben does, and like you said, probably watching Moreland, he gets into it, he's a fan, you know? It's like he's gonna own the stage in an hour from now, but when he's there, he's shoulder to shoulder with the person that paid $14 to get in the door.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, man. And I also really liked that night too, because he asked John to come out and do the encore. So like he's like, you know, he's like, I want to, you know, let's give John do one more, because like it just, you know. So I thought that was really a cool thing too. So not to make it about him, he wanted to make it about John. So
yeah, that's I mean, and again, that speaks to the character,
sure.
of Ben.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. You're busy. You know, again, with all the photography, you're doing videos now. You've got, keep an eye out for videos, like I said, from Patrick Sweeney and from John Calvin Abney.
And Ryan Koenig.
And Ryan, yeah. And is there, that's all that's on the agenda for right now that you want to share?
Yeah, you know, I've got some other things in the hopper coming up, you know.
Yeah.
But, those are all projects that I'm grateful to be a part of, and proud of the work that we've been doing together. And it's, you know, again, it's a collaboration between myself and the artist and their team and the team that I put together as far as moving pictures and stuff like that. It's a bunch of people working towards the same goal, and it's really great because, you know, with video you can collaborate, whereas photography is a little bit more of a solo endeavor oftentimes. So when I have the chance to shoot music videos, I like to put a team together and work with other camera lovers and creative types and people who like to work towards a common goal with a good team.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I think that's a cool thing too about St. Louis, like that we have going on here. I mean, I talk about it a lot, but like I feel like we have a very collaborative, you know, scene. Like everybody, there's a lot of people, whether it's in music or, you know, video and photography and media and all this, but everybody wants to, it seems like a lot of people want to help each other out. They all want to, you know, put together these teams and help give other people opportunities to do other fun things, and all of us like working together to make a great thing, whatever it is. So
yeah, I mean, our city has just such a historically rich music culture. Mm-hmm. You know, way before you and I were ever stepping foot on the land, you know. And to this day, I mean, we don't have the industry infrastructure that the New Yorks and LAs and Nashvilles have, but we have musicians that can stand up against anybody in the world. Yeah. You know, we've got, and it's multiple genres, you know, and it's just like what we have here is just a really creative culture. And, if you go out, anybody who comes through St. Louis or lives in St. Louis, you can find the music that you want to hear. And it's, you don't have to wait for so-and-so to come from wherever, you know, it's people, it's your neighbors making the music. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I could list dozens of bands and artists here that should be our world class, but they should be known worldwide if they wanted to be. You know, it's like we forget that because it's so present. And you know, you can go down to the Blues Triangle and see just anything that'll swing any night of the week, or you can go over to Off Broadway and catch a really great act. And then we have all the bigger venues and stuff, but it's like you can see whatever you want here if you're, you know, willing to just be a part of the community.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you, I guess it does seem that you shoot a lot more of these club shows, you know, off Broadway and such. Do you ever make it out to like the amphitheater and do some, or the arenas and do some of the big ones? And
oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I try to treat it with the same respect, whether it is a show of 12 people or whether it's a show of 25,000 people, you know. Mm-hmm. I have shot big venues all around the country. I've been able to tour with bands that get to play some of these, you know, legendary places like the Fillmore and things like that. But I like a smaller feel in the sense of there's a lot more interaction. And a big thing for me as far as a music photographer, I don't always go for the money shot where it's, you know, some woman or some man jumping and kicking their feet and the hair swinging, and, you know, those are awesome shots and I love them, and when you're in the right place at the right time, you obviously try to capture those, but I'm really interested in taking the icon out of musicians as far as like making them more musical portraits, making them as people, because they are, you know, they put on shoes just like you and I do.
Yeah.
It's just when they go to work every day or every night, they're doing something that most people only dream about doing. But having been in situations and seeing what these folks do away from the stage, I like to try to show them as, you know, they're all music fans too. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like I want to get the big shot, I also like to show the silent emotions that every human goes through, and those people that are making the music for our entertainment, they're standing there with the bright lights on them and they're sweating and things, and they're having to process all of these things in front of a live audience, and it's like, it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, nobody watches what I do when I go to work, but people pay to watch them work. You know, it's when you step back from it, that's what I was saying earlier, like anything can go off the rails. It's live. you know, and that's, you know, performance, whether it's theater or whether it is comedy or whether it is music, you know, when you have a live thing unfolding, it's like, I think that's pretty fascinating that people work in front of a live audience. So yeah, I like the smaller clubs. I like the bigger stages too, you know, the lights are different and things, but there's, you know, there's that real authentic feel of a smaller club show. That's just like, that's rock and roll to me.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I've been, you know, I'll go some of the bigger shows, but there's certain, you know, an energy that is created in a small club with fans and with the performers and stuff that doesn't always translate to those big crowds and things. Like, it's just,
oh yeah, I mean, you've got all these human elements going on, from the fans, from the performers, and the smaller space you have all these things contained more so, and it's just like you can feel that bouncing around silently and invisibly, and it's really cool. Yeah, I love a club show. Yeah, absolutely.
I love I've noticed in a lot of your photography too that it's just like there's a lot of like kind of more candid moments, kind of, you know, being like in the studio or whatever. It's not like, you know, they're just, you'll get shots of people just hanging out and you know, you can the genuine smiles as they're telling stories and laughing with their other musician friends and different things or whatever. So it's like I love those, like, you know, saying like you're not just always the on stage playing guitar shots, it's the off, you know, behind stage or you know, whatever it is, where, and you get these, capture these moments of genuine, you know, laughter and stuff.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, people trust me to be there and understand the situation and be respectful of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, again, a big thing is never putting yourself or your photography before what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
And those candid moments are great because, you know, when you're shooting a concert, I can shoot from the front of the stage at the pageant. And then that band goes the next night to Kansas City, and it's going to be maybe a different curtain in the back, but it's the same stage setup. So, like, there's, you're always going to, every photographer has his or her own voice. But you can almost, you know, you bands are rehearsed, so they're, even their formation on stage is the same. So those are cool, but when you get into what we're talking about, like the candid stuff, the away from the stage kind of things, those are the images that aren't duplicated, you know, and those are the ones that are unique, and they mean, as a photographer, those are, in my opinion, those are the ones that are going to have more longevity, and when you look back in 5 years or 15 years, it'll be like, oh, that's a young Amanda Shires, or that's a young Jason Isbell, or that's a young Jack Grelly, or a young Ryan Koenig, you know, that kind of stuff. And I've been fortunate to work with a lot of different artists locally and nationally that allow me those moments, and they trust having a camera around, because that's, you know, cameras are pretty invasive things. It stops a second of the world, and it, you know, it like puts it there forever if you share it with people, or if, you know, a tangible photograph. So that's those are the things as a music photographer that you just don't take lightly, and again, you treat it with respect, because there's billions of people in the world, and there's millions of photographers in America, and these folks trust me enough to be in their personal space and their creative space, and I think you just have to really, really treat it with the respect it deserves. Yeah. And then, you know, I often think that those kind of photographs are made on trust, and that trust is built when the camera's not around. You know, it's just being a person with another person, and, you know, all the conversations that happen. Then when I pull out my camera, people are less apt to tense up or get into their character mode or whatever. You know, so it's like, you know, that's the human element of it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's the photograph is like the cherry on top, you know, it's all the interactions and helping somebody carry their guitar case, or them, you know, handing you a bottle of water. There's just like these small things that happen that just form these connections of that morph into an overall trust. And to do the away from the stage stuff, whether it's touring or whether it's press sessions or recording sessions, you know, those to me are, I find that to be the most enjoyable form of music photography.
I've had Kenny Williamson on talking about
Kenny's great.
Oh yeah, I love
Kenny. Yeah, he's my favorite photographer in St. Louis. Yeah. Without question. I love what he does.
Yeah, yeah. He's and just a great guy but an incredible photographer as well, and
funny as hell too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But he was sharing some stories, like I think he shot a Brooks and Dunn or something and got, they wanted to purchase one of his images for T-shirt and stuff like that and run that. And
St. Louis has an unbelievably rich camera community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, and just speaking about music, our music photography community is as good as any city. You've got the Kenny Williamsons, you have Lawrence Bryant, he goes under LB Photo. You've got Jess Luther, who does stuff for I Went to a Show. You've got Abby Gigliardi. You've got John Gitchoff, who works for The Post, you know. John's work is great, too. He's awesome. He's amazing. But we have all of these wildly talented photographers, and the way the music community in St. Louis is, they are pretty supportive of photography here, and we get to show off our venues, and we get to show that we can stand up next to the major cities or whatever, you know. And it's like our camera community here is really, really excellent, and they're all really good people too. So to be able to work alongside those folks, you know, it's awesome to walk into a photo pit and see Kenny standing there, or to see LB or anything like that. Oh yeah, it's so fun. You've got Jason Gonelson, who runs Speakers and Code. He was writing at first, and you know, he's probably always been a camera guy, and now if you look at his photography, it's just like, damn, like he's excellent. So yeah, I'd put our music photography community up against anybody.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That we actually have a signed Kenny Williamson shot at the house. It was from a Point Fest where it was a picture of Moon from Greek Fire was like crowd surfing on this like couch or bed or whatever kind of thing he had like over the, and so Kenny got snapped a shot, and then I Moon autographed it for me when I met him and stuff. And
oh, that's great.
So it's pretty sweet to have some of Kenny's work framed on the wall and
stuff. I was going to say, to have an original piece from Kenny, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. You know, and we were talking about the money shot, like the big shot, the iconic stuff. Kenny's got countless images like that. And from rock and roll to country to folk.
Yeah.
Like just the venues that he shoots at, you know, that he's got these star-studded images, and the way he captures things, like when you see a Kenny image, you know that Kenny shot it, and it's like that's the highest respect I can give someone, is like Kenny's got his own voice. And I love his photography.
Definitely, yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Do you ever get like, maybe not jealous, but like, you know, man, I wish I would have got that shot or whatever, like any that kind of stuff, like.
You know, in my younger, when I started out, I would really beat myself up if I missed a shot.
Yeah.
But you can't ever get it all.
Right.
And there's a fine line, like, you know, once you start working with a camera, especially, for instance, in music, you see shows differently. You're looking for photographs, and you, rather than looking at the whole stage, you might notice that the set list is on the stage, or you start looking for these details, and sometimes it's good to remember to just take the camera away from your face and be present, you know. But at this point, no, I'm never gonna stress over missing a shot, because you're never gonna capture it. And it's just like, work towards the ones that you get, and work hard for the however long of a time that they give you. You know, a lot of concerts, they'll only give you 9 minutes. It's like three songs, so 9-10 minutes. And you've got to do a lot of work in those 10 minutes. And if, you know, you go in with an idea of what you want to get, you know, you study what the band is going to look like on stage from previous shows. So when you get there, it doesn't look foreign and you don't put yourself behind the eight ball, so to say, from the start. But as far as missing shots, you know, I won't ever stress that at this point, because in you know, life is hard. And if you miss a photograph, that's like, it's so meaningless, really. Right. You know? So, yeah. And then again, it's just like being grateful to be there. You know, you've got people that pay lots of money to stand in line and be the front row, you know, and like hear us photographers are, and they give us this pass that lets you walk right in front of these people. You literally cut in line, and it's just like, it's absurd, you know. And it's just like, it's such a great thing to be able to be a part of. But you know, you realize like, oh, you have opportunities that these people are, you know, wish that they would had. So it's just like, be thankful for the opportunity, try to show the artists in the best light, treat every venue staff member with the utmost respect, because it takes so much behind the scenes work for a concert to go off at any size of venue, whether it's a small club or whether it's a huge arena. And there's countless people that get no recognition, you know, and photographers have a visual thing attached to it that people are going to remember, and it's weird, and we should never ever take that for granted, and we have to remember that what we do is important in the overall scope of music documentation. But there's also countless people that are working their asses off way harder than what I do,
right,
to make sure that this band is taken care of, or to make sure that the fans experience it as they will. And it's like, you know, you after doing music photography, you start seeing that. You see the ticket taker, or you see the security, or you see the bartender, or you see the sound woman, you know. And it's like, those are also our peers, you know. Like, we're all working towards making this experience. Just so happens they're working and making it happen in the live moment, and we are working to capture what they're doing, you know. So it's like, I think, you know, that would, you asked about advice earlier. That's another thing I would say to future photographers, is treat people with respect always.
Yeah.
Because they work their asses off. These people do.
Yeah. That's with anything in life. I feel like just, you know, being respectful and treating people right, like, has gotten me so far. And you know, it's like just being a good person like that, like I say. And so like, it
takes as much effort to be nice as it does to be nice.
Yeah, right.
You know,
but you never know who that person knows or whatever, you know, what that connection is going to be to that relationship. So like, even if, you know, just so a simple gesture of smiling and, you know, saying nice to meet you or whatever, goes so far to get you a lot of other things, and, you know, whatever it is.
And it's like, it's not even about the possible future connection. Well, it's about, like, yeah, but you know,
networking is very important in this business. And, you know, just, you know, being friendly with people, like you're saying, just, you know, like, even what you've done in your career so far, being a good person has opened up so many other doors to where you've been able to be a part of a lot of these opportunities and stuff. And so it all goes, it's a ripple effect through the whole thing.
It is, you know, and everybody deserves to be treated with dignity.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's great, the people that we get to work with in this. And, you know, when I was younger, I didn't realize the lasting effect of it.
Yeah.
And so now that I've been doing it for well over a decade, it's like, I've learned a lot of things through music photography that can translate to just being a everyday human being. And it's really cool.
Yeah, I try to do this with the show. I try to, you know, kind of shine a light on, like you're saying, about all the other people behind the scenes and doing different stuff. Like, you know, had different venue owners and different sound engineers and everybody that makes this whole thing possible. Besides, you know, like, I love the artist as well, but like, we're all a part of this. We all make all of it possible. You know, it has to be it has to be fans going to the shows. It has to be the sound person running the board. It has to be the, you know, like saying the ticket takers and different, you know, other people involved. So,
oh yeah, there's so much that goes into a show, and it's like, you know, we get there at 8 o'clock when the doors open. There's folks that have been there since 1 o'clock because right. the band's got to come in and be fed and rehearse, and people are there doing that early. And then when you look at, you know, it gets to be midnight when the show's over and that same person's still there. It's like yeah. they've been standing on their feet. You know, it's like there's people that work really, really hard to
yep.
make an enjoyable experience every night. And it's just like, you know, I tip my cap to those folks.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure. So we've talked, you know, you've done a lot already. Do you still have a couple things on the list that you want to accomplish with your career? I mean, it's like, what's the bucket list kind of stuff you want to do?
Oh, you know, the number one thing in the bucket list, I would say, is just to continue making a breathing document and series of a small part of American culture, mm-hmm. you know, and I hope to continue to improve. I hope to be able to share what I've learned with other photographers. Big bucket list things. Like I don't really have like, I don't say, you know, I want to shoot this artist or this artist. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain ones that I have shot that, like, you know, Shuggy Otis or Eddie Vedder. I got to shoot Eddie Vedder playing solo with a ukulele.
Nice.
And I really liked Pearl Jam growing up, and I think Eddie Vedder is a great human being. And,
yeah.
You know, he does things away from music that are way more respectable than the music he makes, in my opinion. So there were certain things where, you know, I intentionally tried to shoot them. But at this point, it's like, I want to show artists who may not ever see the biggest, brightest lights. I want to make sure that they're having the equal voice as, you know, the person that's playing the stadium, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just going to continue to work and refine my own creative voice visually and, continue to try to just help you be a small positive impact for people, whether it's the musicians I'm working with or whether it's the people who are, you know, fans of the band or fans of my work. It's like I want to be able to create this lasting body of images that says, you know, hey, that there was a period of American music that was really badass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel that too. Like, I don't know where this show is going to go, but whenever I'm done, I want it to be like a time capsule of what St. Louis music was, and like just kind of capture all this, document as much as I can. So
yeah, I mean, and you've got a city that's just ripe with great musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got just so many artists here that are just, should they choose to, you know, I would love for our music community to be heard all across the world, because we have some really, really talented and really creative people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I agree, man. I love it here. But yeah, you can get involved with Nate again, everything at nateburrell.com. And do you have a official Facebook page or?
No, I'm terrible at social media. No, I have like a personal page that,
right.
I can't maintain a personal page and a business page. It's just like,
yeah.
Anybody that like sends a friend request, I take it.
All right.
You know, but I don't put a ton of stuff there. I do have an Instagram and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, my work's out there, and I try to stay active with it. I'd say I'm more active with Instagram than Facebook.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Click follow on Instagram there and keep up with some of the shots. And again, keep an eye out for those music videos coming soon. From Pat and John Calvin Abney and Ryan, and so got a lot of exciting things happening, so get involved, and thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun hanging out, Nate.
Yeah, thanks, Shane, appreciate it.
I'll see you soon, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.